get your Bibles out, please, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter number 13. When you arrive at Proverbs chapter 13, I want you to look at verse number 19. No, let's go to verse 18. Proverbs 13, 18. And then I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read the scripture to us. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. Proverbs chapter 13, starting with verse number 18. The Bible says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." In verse number 23, notice there, it talks about being much food. It turns around and says, because of a lack of judgment, there is a destruction of that blessing. Tonight, the lesson is this. I'm going to talk to us about wasting money. Wasting money. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us tonight and help us to be challenged and learn. I believe all of us know the topic tonight. We just need to be reminded. We need to work at it a little more. Father, help us tonight. Holy Spirit, take the simplicity of the sermon, but use it and use this lesson to change us, to make us better, better stewards of what you've given us. Now, may the interruptions be minimized. May our attention be maximized. Help us now to listen and learn and become better because of what we learn from the Bible tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Again, the title is Wasting Money. Wasting Money. I'm going to read that verse, Proverbs 13:23. Again, it says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." In that verse, someone has been blessed with much, but destruction comes. And the Bible tends to make us believe that there's a lack of judgment. And because of a lack of judgment, someone that had been blessed, that their goods or the prosperity or the blessing has been destroyed or eliminated. And I would tell you this, I think a lack of judgment certainly affects our finances. You and I live in the United States of America, and we have been blessed. But I think sometimes we do not take seriously that blessing, and we become wasteful. Let me share some waste things, some areas where people waste. I did some research, and I found that the five most wasted foods in America, I'll tell you what they are. Bread. They said that Americans, they waste 240 million slices of bread per year. 240 million slices of bread per year. Milk. They say that Americans pour down the drain 5.9 million glasses of milk a year. Potatoes. In America, it is said that we waste 5.8 million potatoes a year. They say we waste cheese. I didn't study long enough to figure out how many slices, but they say we waste cheese. Apples. We waste apples at the rate of 1.3 million a year that are just thrown away and unused. Now, that might not mean a lot to us, but I will tell you this. There are countries around the world that would love to have food like that. It is said, and I'll say this again later, in America, we waste more food than most countries live off of. And we're wasteful. And remember, the whole lesson tonight, this is a lesson about finances. sometimes you say, I tend to have a hard time increasing my income. Okay. Then what we want to do is be careful then not to waste what God's given you. Because if you can't figure out how to increase the income, we want to be careful that we're not wasting that income. Let me talk to you a little bit about the United States government and waste. Now, so you know, this could go on and on all night long. When I was researching, I laughed. I was near tears because I wanted to cry. My head was spinning at some of the things that I read. I can't tell you some of the things that I read that they waste our money on because it would be inappropriate publicly. But let me talk to you about our government and waste. The United States government spent $3 million on research for the video game called World of Warcraft. Our government spent it on a video game. Our government spent $700,000 studying gas emissions from dairy cows. We spent $614,000. It was given to the University of California for Grateful Dead memorabilia preservation. Now, the Grateful Dead are a rock group. They thought that was an important part of history. That should be, you know, kept. Our government spent $239,100 to study e-dating or dating online. Our government spent $442,230 studying the behavior of male prostitutes in Vietnam. That's with your money. They spent $1 million on animal poetry. I'm not talking about kitty cats writing poems. I'm talking about it was on poems written about animals. Our government spent $1.8 million on a museum they built for neon signs. They spent $150,000 for what they called the Critter Crossing. They were saving the lives of migrating salamanders. And then we slaughter babies by the millions. Our government spent $800,000 studying an area of South Africa regarding the necessity of sanitation for the human body. I could have done it for $200. I could have told them, this is soap, this is water, now wash it. $800,000. Our government spent $518,000 studying how cocaine affects Japanese quails. They spent $3 million, and it was given to Northwest University, funding what they called hamster fights. You say, what was that about? They were giving certain hamsters steroids and others not, putting them in the cage so they could study what is called roid rage. Our government spent $3.5 million on holograms of dead comedians. Now, in America, if we leave the government, and they did a study on what do we waste a lot of money on, the common American citizen. And they said this, America is addicted to eating out. They have left the family setting at home, at a table, and they eat out. Secondly, bottled water. I would tell you this about bottled water. You thought it was cleaner water. Some places just fill your bottle with their tap water and put a lid on it and then charge you for it. So not all bottled water is this distilled, or is it this real purified water. But eating out, bottled water, and then credit card interest is way at the top. People have almost accepted that credit card interest is just a part of life. Coffee. They said America pays outrageous amounts of money for a cup of coffee. Then our cell phones and gadgets. And they felt like even if some of those things are necessary, these are the areas where we are spoiled and we just waste and waste and waste and waste. Now, all that by way of introduction. A way to help yourself financially is just to make sure you don't waste what you have. And there are multiple ways of wasting. What I teach tonight will not be revolutionary. It will remind us. I hope for some you'll say, yeah, I need to be a little more careful. And remember, we would love to make more money, but if for some reason we can't, and even if we can make more money, we shouldn't waste. But if you can't make more, you can help fix a financial problem by being careful not to waste what God's given you. I'm going to give you a handful of areas that the Bible talks about. They'll all be associated with wasting, and they're things that we can do then to help us to save money or be wiser with the blessing of God in our lives. Number one, I want to talk about, first of all, the wasting of food. John chapter 6, verse number 12 says, "When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Now, the casual observer just seeing Jesus feed a multitude, and we are enamored with the miracle, and we should be. But the Scripture, everything is in the Scripture for a reason. There's no mistakes in the Scripture. I noticed those words. What had happened is this is where Jesus had fed the 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish. And when the miracle was over with, he told his men, now you go pick up the leftovers. Why? He said that nothing be lost. I think Jesus was saying, don't waste that food. Don't waste that food. It is clear that God was saying that we should be guarded not to waste the leftovers. Leftover food is of value, and it should not be wasted. I've already said it, but it's worth saying again. There are people in other countries that could live off of what we discard and we just toss away. I'm not trying to be a homemaker tonight, but I will tell you this. Leftover foods can very simply be placed in the refrigerator. They can very simply be placed in the freezer. Hey, if nothing else, give it to somebody so that they could get the prosperity of it. But I really do think we waste a lot of food in America. I started the lesson talking about, just think about that, 240 million slices of bread a year are thrown away. The waste of food. If we're all careful, we could save a few dollars by not wasting food. I grew up in the generation that if you put it on your plate, you ate it. Now, my parents never made me take more than I could eat. My mother would say, now, Jeff, you put on your plate what you want. And she would remind me, don't put more on your plate than you can eat. But what you put on your plate, you will eat. Couple hours later, it would be gone. I would still be sitting at my mother's table. Because if my parents said something, my parents meant it. They were not plaguing authority in my life. They were real authority in my life. And that's how it worked. But we waste a lot of food today. And parents, one of the things you could help your children with, help them learn not to waste food. That won't just help your economics. That'll help them someday so they're not wasteful. Number two. The wasting of small things. The wasting of small things. John chapter 6, verse number 12, let me read the verse to you again. It's the one we just used. It says, when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. When I read that verse, I noticed the word fragments. Fragments, huh? The word fragment there means small portions. So it wasn't necessarily that there was a full portion, but there was a fragment, a fraction of, a portion of. So it's talking about the small parts. Now, I think, and now I'm not necessarily talking about food. I'm talking about our wasting small things. We think because it is a little, it doesn't count. Let me explain something. Big things is the compilation of little things. You add a bunch of little things together and they become big things. You say, I don't have enough money. I'm not going to get a big bank account out of that dollar. You know what? Save enough dollars and they add up. So here the Bible points out they were gathering up fragments, small portions. We are not careful with a penny. That's a fragment. That's just a small portion of what we would consider money exchange or coinage or cash. We need not to waste fragments of food, fragments of fuel. Again, you'll think I'm old-fashioned, but when I was growing up, we went to the grocery store one time a week. It was a plan. Now, we didn't go more because we did not, number one, waste our time. We did not waste our fuel to go back and forth. And we were organized. There was a list. And Mama posted the list on the refrigerator. And when she ran out of eggs, she wrote down eggs. When she ran out of salt, she wrote the salt. And I added things to the list that we needed to have, you know. Cereal, cookies, the important things in life. And she would mark them off the list, and I'd put them back on, hoping to slip it through there. But some of you, if you grew up on the farm, and I mean really rural, you might not have gone to the grocery but a couple times a month. But today, people will stop at a store every day of the week. You say, it's a big deal. How are you doing on paying your bills? You pay them on time? Are you stressed financially? You say, well, that little bit's not going to make a difference. It was a little bit at a time that got you in the jam that you're in. How about a little bit at a time being thrifty would help dig you out of the mess? Sometimes we can't solve the problem with big solutions. But what is a big solution? It's a multitude of little solutions added together that will help you. We waste small portions of money and small portions of food. We waste fragments of fuel and fragments of drink. I wonder how many drinks people only drink a portion of. They'll pay a dollar for a soda, a pop, a cola, whatever you want to call it, and they pour half of it down the drain. You pay $4 for a cup of coffee, drink half of it. We waste cleaning products. There's just so many things that we're wasteful. So I said, number one, we waste food. And the Bible teaches not to waste food. I said, number two, we waste small things. And God said even the fragments should not go to waste. Number three, I think we waste our productivity at work. We waste our productivity at work. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You see, here God is comparing a slothful, a lazy, an unproductive person to a great waster. Well, I think we hurt ourselves financially by wasting our productivity when we're at work. And notice there, it didn't say that this slothful, unproductive worker was just a waster. Said they were great wasters. That superlative there is trying to say this is big. Don't take this as a little thing. There are a couple reasons why. First of all, if you work for somebody else, you should not be wasting on them. But you're hurting yourself. You and I, when we're productive, we are rewarded for that productivity. God rewards productivity. The management, the boss, they'll reward productivity. So we should not waste food. We should not waste the small things, the fragments of life. We should not waste our work productivity. Number four, we shouldn't waste our possessions. Our possessions. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 and 31. Wasting our possessions. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown up, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had cover, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Here, someone has an area of their home. It's a vineyard. There's a wall. Maybe it's a part of their garden, whatever it is, but it's obvious. It's broken down. It's dilapidated. It's deteriorating. And the Bible says this is somebody that's void of understanding. What's God saying? They're not thinking. They're wasting. They're hurting themselves. Hey, folks, we should not let our possessions deteriorate. Because when our possessions deteriorate, then they must be replaced. And if they must be replaced, then we have to take money out of our account, out of our living, to replace them. So maintenance is important. You might not like it, but you need to keep the oil in your car changed. You might not like it, but if you have wood on the outside of your home, it's going to have to be painted. You might not like it, but you're going to have to repair things that are broken. Let me warn you. That little leak underneath your sink that's let go and let go and let go could destroy your entire house. And I've watched it happen time and time again. A little leak, it gets down into the floor joists, it gets down into all the wood, it gets down into the foundation, you end up with mold, and I'm really not trying to teach on that, but I am just trying to tell you this, maintenance is an issue. And what God is telling us here in Proverbs 24, He said, I looked and there was a guy, he wasn't thinking, he was void of understanding, he wasn't understanding what a mess he was creating for himself. So don't, and look, if you have things, don't forget who gave it to you. You say, I got that from Uncle Roy. Well, you got it from God. It may come through Uncle Roy, but you got it from God. If God gave you something, He kind of intended that you take care of it. My mother-in-law never had a lot of money. But one thing I love that she used to say to my wife all the time, she said, your things may not be expensive, but they can be kept clean and you can keep them as nice as that item can be. And it should be that way. It should be that way. I would tell you this. You say, well, I wish I had nicer things. Why should God give you nicer things if you won't take care of what you have? I think if you take care of what you have, God may say, well, you know what, if I bless them with more, they would respect it and honor it and appreciate it. Today, we throw things away, not because they're wore out, but because we're spoiled. And we just don't want it anymore. I have a new suit on. I actually got it for my birthday. And we were checking out at the counter. And the lady was, I don't know, she was making a sales pitch to me or something when we were checking out. My wife said, I'm sorry, you'll have to understand. My husband's a very practical man. He thinks a coat is to keep you warm. Now, do you know what a winter coat's supposed to do? Keep you warm. It's not a fashion statement. It's not something you wear to show off. And We have left the practicality of God's blessings, and now we live in a very, very spoiled world where everything is showing off to each other, and things tend to lose their true and original purpose. Now, so you all know, do you know what a car is for? It's to get you from point A to point B safely. Now, some of you, your car's not safe, so it's not, it's the wrong one to be driving. It's not a status figure. It's not. But we waste our possessions. And again, we throw things away today, not because they're wore out. We just don't want them anymore. We're tired of it. Now, the people under the sound of my voice, you work hard. Thank God for you. But I am telling you, if you are struggling financially, if you're not where you want to be financially, it might be that you need to be a little more careful not to waste what you have. So take care of what you have. We have a lot of pine trees around our place. Of course, about everybody here does. But if you let all those pine needles and you let leaves get on top of your house and set there and let them stay in your gutters and then you let the water run over, you're going to create problems for yourself. You'll have to replace things. It would have been a little easier to pay whatever you had to pay or do whatever you had to do to take care of the possession a little than to replace the whole thing. So don't waste your possessions. Number five, we waste daylight hours. We waste daylight hours. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, 10, and 11. It says, "How long without sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Here the Bible is talking about our daylight hours. Now, if you waste the daylight hours, you're wasting some productivity. And I realize there are people that work nights, but this is basically saying when we're awake and able to work and be productive, we should be. Work produces financial success. Work brings prosperity. Here God said, you sleep so much, you're wasting productivity time. And so we sing, even in the church, there's a song in our songbook, "Work, for the night is coming." And then it also says in that song, there comes a day when man can work no more. Now, we need to work. So, we waste. And if you waste daylight hours, if you waste your waking hours, then you're not going to succeed financially. You're not going to move yourself forward financially. So, we said don't waste food. We said don't waste the fragments or the small things. Don't waste work productivity. Don't waste your possessions. Maintain them. Keep them up. Number five, don't waste the daylight hours. Use them wisely. Number six, do not waste today. Do not waste today. I'm going to read to you from James chapter 4, verse number 14. And when I say don't waste today, I'm talking about the idea of procrastination. Putting things off. James chapter 4 verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Now here God is talking about, we want to put things off. We think, oh, I can do it tomorrow. I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll get started tomorrow. Now, God is saying, you don't know for a fact that you have tomorrow, and life is passing. And folks, the truth is, we know one thing, we have today. It may be that we don't have tomorrow. So we need to be careful putting everything off all the time. I think sometimes we waste the now. We waste today. See, continually putting things off is a sign of poor character. Procrastination is the waste of your today. Wasting your today is wasting then the prosperity of today. I wish I could get all of us to realize that the best time to decide to get it together financially, you ought to start today. There's some people I really think there's a lot of sincere Christians that say, you know what, preacher, one of these days, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to balance my checkbook. And one of these days, I'm going to get myself under control financially. One of these days, I'm going to get those credit cards paid off. One of these days. That's what you said a long time ago too. Procrastination will destroy you if you're not careful. So we're procrastinating what could be today's prosperity. So don't waste today. Number seven, don't waste investment opportunities. Don't waste investment opportunities. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verse 23 through 26. It says, "Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds, for I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." And here it's talking about someone should have invested, and they didn't. They should have put some money in the bank, and they didn't. Now, in our society, and in the economic climate of this day, there is a way for people to invest and put a little money aside and to earn interest and have that money multiplied. Now, I believe every investment should be entered into very wisely and cautiously. But I would say to everybody in here, starting at the teenage years, you need to understand interest rates. And be careful not to waste your money paying ridiculous interest rates. You need to learn how to earn interest, not just pay interest. And it's doable. It can be done. But investment opportunities, I think when you purchase a home, that is an investment opportunity. But learn about interest rates when you do it. Figure it out. You say, well, there was only a 2% interest difference in one loan and the other loan. Do you have any idea what 2% is over 30 years on a $150,000 home? I don't. It's mucho dinero. But it's a big deal. And sometimes we don't realize that. You were thrilled. You know, you turned 18. They gave you a credit card. You were thrilled. Did you read the small print? It's 25% interest for 3 days, and then it goes up to 30% interest. But look, here God in the Scripture said you should have got some money in the bank so you could figure out this thing of letting your money work for you. And I know not everybody's there. Some are. But here God is talking about wasting investment opportunities. Let's go on. Number 8, wasting in your youth. The Bible warns us about wasting in our youth. I'll read to you from Luke chapter 15, verse number 13. It says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living." This is the story of the prodigal son. What did he do? In his youth, he wasted his money. There is a specific warning given, and I know most of us, we gravitate toward the fact that this kid got backslidden and left mom and dad and went out and messed up his life, but there's many concepts taught here, one of which is, in your youth, you're more apt to make financial mistakes. You're more apt to be frivolous with your money. So, young people need to learn not to waste. Now, when we're teaching our kids not to waste water at home, and we're teaching our kids not to waste food at home, and we're teaching our kids that, my mom used to say, this is not a barn. Shut the front door. We're not trying to air condition the outdoors. All those things stuck with me. And what my mom was trying to teach me to do is not to waste. And parents, teach your children not to waste. Because later in life, they're not going to have you anymore. They're not going to have you to say, this is not a barn. We're not trying to heat or air condition the outside. They're not going to say, children in Ethiopia are starving. Sit down and eat your liver. Oh, you poor people. Well, so here we see that the prodigal son, not only did he get backslidden and take off, what did he do? He went out and wasted his money. He wasted what had been given to him. I think if you start being cautious with your money in your youth, it will take you to some wonderful places in your adult years. I just wish that one young person, one teenager, one child would take seriously what your pastor's teaching you in these many, many weeks on finances, and that you would learn how to put some money away. And someday when I'm dead and gone, you can sit at the table with your children and grandchildren and say, I remember when my pastor taught me not to waste all my money, not to spend everything, and to be thrifty. And today I'm doing well financially because I obeyed the Scripture. If just one would do it, it would be worth it all. But learn not to waste early in life. Do you know that there are a lot of middle-aged people and even older people in here? The reason why you waste is you formed a wasteful habit early in life and you never really got it under control. You know, habits can be formed for the negatives of life, but habits can be formed for the positives of life too. Form positive habits with your money. And don't waste in your youth. Now let me go on. Number 9. Wasting with bad living. wasting with bad living. Again, we're going to read from Luke chapter 15, verse 13. This is the story of the prodigal son again. It says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." In other words, he wasted his money, but he wasted his money on bad things. Now, I don't think you ought to waste your money. But if you're going to waste your money on good things. Don't waste it on bad things. If you're bound and determined to waste it on a Coca-Cola, but don't waste it on a Budweiser. If you're bound and determined that you're going to waste your money, waste it in at least a wholesome way and not in a sinful way. I wonder if people in this room could stand and testify unencumbered by embarrassment, how many could stand and say, "I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on liquor in my past. I spent thousands of dollars on drugs in my past. I spent thousands of dollars in gambling or bad music or the party life." Sad. But he wasted it on riotous, in rioting, that kind of party life. So let's not waste our money with bad living. Let me go on. Number 10. Don't waste because of the weather. Don't waste because of the weather. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4 says, "A sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." So here God is saying the weather wasn't going well. And here's somebody that just used it as an excuse to be totally lazy. And now they're a beggar. So obviously they let the weather cause them to collapse financially. This generation sure has a lack of determination. I don't know if you all know this, but my dad taught me that sugar melts, but I'm not made of sugar. If my dad wanted something done in the yard and it'd start to rain, I'd say, "Dad, it's raining." He'd say, "Sugar melts, but you won't. You're not made of sugar." You understand? People are afraid of rain. Brother Earl, people are afraid of snow. Now, I hate snow, but I'm not afraid of it. Now, I know there's weather that you shouldn't be out in. I know when there's a lightning storm, you send your mother out with mother-in-law out with an umbrella. But when there's a lightning storm, I understand. When there's heavy, you know, dangerous wind and flooding and certain things. But my, oh my, our country has become, we become wimps. We close the schools down 2 days before what they predicted would come that didn't come. And then we bought all the bread off the shelf so we could throw it all away and it could become a part of the 240 million slices. But we honestly waste because of weather. Be careful that you don't use weather as an excuse to collapse yourself. You can do that. You know, when weather keeps you from doing one type of a job, find another type of a job. I know painters. If they can't paint outside when it rains, they paint inside. I know people that work outdoors and have outdoor equipment. And when it rains and they can't run the equipment, it's maintenance time. You pull it in the garage and you work on it. When weather hinders us from being outdoors, we can work indoors. But there's some people, when bad weather hits, use that day for organization, financial planning, and maintenance matters. But the Bible said there are people who will hurt themselves financially, and they'll use the weather as the excuse. Let me go on. Number 11, wasting because of laziness. Wasting because of laziness. Proverbs 12:27 says, "A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. The substance of the diligent man is precious." Here God's warning us. A man is lazy. And what's happened here, a man's gone out and he's hunted. And he's killed something. But because he's lazy, he's not going to use the meat. And God said that's wrong. He's being lazy. Now, I'm against poaching. But look, if somebody's going to kill, if somebody's going to put a deer or something down, that thing ought to be used for the purpose for which it was killed. But laziness will hurt us. Laziness at home, laziness at work, laziness at school. I can't say enough about it. Young people, if you're lazy at school, you won't get good grades. If you don't get good grades, you won't develop your mind. If you don't develop your mind, you're going to limit yourself financially. There's some people, you're mad at people that went to school and got educated and worked hard, and now they make a lot of money. You're almost mad at them. They just got a break in life. Hey, they might have got up early and stayed up late and worked very hard and studied and got good grades and were determined to succeed in life. And education is a part of it. So, but laziness can hurt us. I'll hurry, I promise. Number 12, wasting because of a lack of prayer. Wasting because of a lack of prayer. James chapter 4 verse number 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Huh. We don't pray, so there's certain things that we don't have because we don't pray. Say, preacher, why don't we pray? Well, basically because we're lazy. And the Bible talks about the labor of prayer. But I think there are some things that we could have, we could increase, but we're not willing to pray. God said, I have some things for you, but you never ask. Now, there are some people that you'd like to lay around and pray all the time and not go to work. That's not going to work either. It may be the way God was going to bless you financially is to give you a job. But wasting because of a lack of prayer. Number 13, just wasting time in general. Wasting time in general will hurt you financially. Ephesians 5:16, listen to this verse. It says, redeeming the time. You know what the word redeeming means? Cash in on. When you redeem, you're cashing in on something. You're to cash in on your time. Cash in on the time God's given you. There are people that waste years. There are people that waste months. There are people that waste weeks. There are people that waste days. There are people that waste hours. Waste minutes. Waste moments. Let me tell you something. If you use the moments, use the minutes, use the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years to go forward and be productive, you'll solve most of your financial issues. Number 14, don't waste inheritances. Don't waste inheritances. Proverbs 20:21 says, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Hey, when people, and here's part of the problem with an inheritance, when you inherit something for which you did not work, you do not respect what it took to get it, so you're apt to waste it. I've watched corporations in our country that were built by some hardworking man or family that get turned, you know, it gets turned over to the young man in the family and it all falls apart because he didn't break his back building it and he didn't appreciate what dad or grandpa gave him. We don't only inherit money. We inherit things, but those things ought to be used wisely. And I think in many cases, there are people that inherit and they were already living off of their own income. Boy, you inherit, it could be put away. It could be used for your retirement. It could be used for your future. So many people just squander it. There are probably people sitting under the sound of my voice who would say, yeah, I had an inheritance and we blew it all. Be careful. And we inherit money, we inherit things, but I tell you something else. I really believe there are people that have inherited a good work ethic or some good financial instruction from their parents, but they squandered that too. There are people in here, your parents told you what to do financially and how to do it, or a grandparent taught you how to do it and what not to do, but you didn't listen to a thing that they said, so you wasted the inheritance of the teaching and the concepts of success. One thing I do not want to do, I do not want to waste what the people who have trained me. I don't want to waste what my mentors have given me. I don't want to waste what has been given to me. Because God tells us, have you heard the old saying, waste not, want not? I think that's true about so many things. Let me give you just a couple more and I'll be done. Number 15, wasting by not giving tithes and offerings. Wasting by not giving tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3 verse 11 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Here the Bible is teaching us that you and I are wasting our substance when we don't give to God like we're supposed to give. If I do not tithe, if I do not give my offering, then my finances will be retracted in life from me, the devourer. It'll be eaten up. God has a way of getting it out of my account. So virtually, not tithing and giving our offering like we should, it's just like taking money to the paper shredder and shredding it up. Because that's how God does things. Let me give you one more. Last point, number 16. Wasting your health. Wasting your health. In 3 John, chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." And here it's talking about prosperity and in health. I really do believe that we spend great amounts of money on our health. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would tell you this, we ought to be doing what we can to keep ourselves healthy so we do not have to spend great amount of health of money on our health. Hey, look, there are diseases, there are things that come upon people, they had nothing to do with it. And that's reasonable, and God knows that. And you got to pay for that. But wait, I wonder how much of our health issues are self-inflicted. The doctor told us to exercise, but we won't. The doctor told us to eat right, but we don't. The doctor said lower the stress level, but we don't. Doctor said get the weight under control, but we don't. The doctor says you'll need to sleep right, but we don't. So all the things that we could have done to improve our health, they complicate. And when they complicate, we find ourselves then in need of more medical attention than what we would have had if we just taken care of ourselves. And then that hurts us financially. So now, again, I'll say, things are going to come on our health, and we're going to get sick, and we won't have any control over it. There's nothing we can do about it. It came to us. Okay, well, then that's in the will of God. But wait a minute. There are a lot of things we bring upon ourselves. And if we bring it upon ourselves, now we're creating a financial pressure on us, and we're wasting money because we did not take care of the body that God gave us. I've given you 16 points about wasting. The whole lesson tonight about wasting money. And remember, if we can get more money, it's okay. Wonder if we can't. How can we help ourselves? Well, let's not waste what we have. Then we'll have more money to use toward our bills and for the work of God and for whatever purpose that God would have us to use that money.